Welcome back to the Out of Your Mind podcast. On this week's episode, I sat down with podcaster, voiceover actor, and voice coach, Catherine Beck. And along with her story to success, Catherine shares her process for helping you uncover your authentic voice. Catherine shares how much inner work is required to tap in. And there is so much more than meets the eye here. But we're all about inner work around here, so let's dive in. Hi, I'm Pam Godboys, ex-therapist turned self-development and business coach. And it wasn't that long ago that I was lost, not sure how to rewrite my own story of success. But fast forward through many failed attempts at an online business, and what I learned is that success really is an inside job. This is where the Out of Your Mind podcast was born. Applying the principles of mindset, spirituality, and all things woo, my guests will show you how this inner work is so critical to your business success. So if you are an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making that is looking to make a major impact on the world, you are in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. Thank you, Catherine, so much for being here. I appreciate your willingness to come on the podcast, share your story, and update us on like where you are and what you're doing in the world. You're doing some amazing things. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I have had quite a journey. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I moved to Hollywood when I was, what year was that? I don't even remember. Shortly after I graduated from college, I moved to Hollywood as an actor, you know, living that Hollywood dream. And before I knew it, an Australian guy walks into a bar and orders two beers right next to me in his fine Australian accent. And that was it. 6 days later, you know, we spent all those days together that he was in town. 6 days later, I was in love and we had to figure out what the next move was. So before I knew it, I was engaged and moving halfway around the world to Sydney, Australia. That was 17, almost 18 years ago when I left the US and moved to Australia. And it's been a lot of ups and downs. I'll tell you that when I moved here, I had a real struggle to get situated. It took me 10 years to acclimate. It was not easy. I was incredibly homesick and I struggled for a really, really long time. I felt like I was in international waters, like I wasn't fully part of Australia and I wasn't fully part of America anymore. I was sort of like in no man's land. It was the weirdest thing. So it took me about 10 years. And when I moved here, I thought, well, how am I going to be an actor over here? Because I don't sound Australian. So I learned the Australian accent so I could work over here. And through that struggle of trying to nail an accent that was so hard and so foreign, I learned a lot about that process of, you know, how to authentically perform in another accent. And so I thought, gee, you know, people started asking me if I could teach them. And I was like, gee, maybe I should. So I kind of fell into voice coaching just out of circumstance. And it's kind of taken over. So I'm not acting as much these days. I still do voiceovers. So I'm still, you know, performing in that regards in front of a microphone, but not so much, you know, the day-to-day on screen or on stage. And with the voice coaching, about a year and a half ago, I just felt incomplete, like something was tugging at me, like I wanted to work with more people. I felt like I ended up teaching something based on what I knew really well, but it wasn't 100% what I should be teaching. I felt like I had a greater purpose and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. The first thing I knew is that I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. Being an entrepreneur myself, I was drawn to working with other entrepreneurs like me. But again, I didn't even know why until a little time into it, I realized that my greater purpose was to help people find their true voice. The voice that they're meant to speak with, that often we don't speak with because we hold back. from our insecurities or our doubts or our hesitations or past trauma. The voice that we speak with isn't really our true voice. And I wanted to show people how to find their voice and share it with the world, to not hold back anymore, to make that podcast or do that TikTok or do that webinar, because there's somebody out there in their audience that needs their help. And if they hold back, then other people aren't getting the things that they need in the world. So it's a ripple effect. So voice is very powerful. And that's, yeah, in a nutshell, my journey.
Yeah. So I'm super curious, how did you yourself go through the process of finding your own authentic voice?
Ooh, that's a good question. Your voice changes over time. The voice that I had when I was growing up is in Chicago is different to the voice that I had when I was living in Hollywood, is different to the voice that I had when I first moved to Sydney, and is different to the voice that I have now. In fact, there's a period when I lived in Sydney, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but I must have been going through some sort of insecurities or something, because I started to develop a stutter, which I had never had before. And so I noticed that the environment affects how we speak. Our mind affects how we speak. And how can we shift that so we can really speak from our truth and now not allow these external circumstances and things to get in the way? You know, so finding your true voice is about uncovering that voice that you had when you were younger, but things got in the way to hold you back. So oftentimes when I work with my students, we go through their voice story and we go back in time to a point where they remember speaking. Oftentimes it tends to be with a lot of my students around that high school period where an event occurred, they felt uncomfortable, and then they held back. And it's like their voice got trapped in time, trapped in that moment. And they're afraid that somebody's going to judge them or say something about them if they use their whole voice. So they hold back.
That is so fascinating. So, I mean, my audience knows, and I shared with you, that I've been a therapist for 20 years, right? That's my background. And we talk about trauma, you know, throughout the lifespan and how it impacts development, but impacting the voice. I'm also a yoga teacher and I teach meditation and understand the energy centers and the movement of energy and all those things. So it's so interesting hearing you talk about this idea that like there's a moment in time or there can be an event or a trigger or an experience that actually physically, verbally, we stop the speaking, we stop using our voice in the way in which is aligned with our being. And that actually changes the sound of our voice or the frequency or the experience of our voice. But also we know like all the other impacts that it can have. Like if you're sitting with somebody who I'm assuming is not 17 years old and they're talking about when they were 17 years old, this obviously is something that has developed into a barrier for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, our voice is energy. Yeah. And that energy can get blocked. And that voice, it's a frequency. And you can shift the frequency. But that frequency, those sound waves are going out to other people. And they're getting affected by those sound waves, by your frequency. It all comes through the voice. So if you're not feeling good about yourself, people will feel that. They'll hear it in your voice and they'll feel that. If you're feeling great about yourself and you're comfortable with yourself, we'll hear it in your voice. Voice doesn't lie.
No. How do you help people figure that out? I'm just thinking about like, how do I even know if I'm listening to this podcast? How do I even know if I'm not speaking in my authentic voice? If I'm not showing up as myself, if there's blockages, what can I do to figure that stuff out?
Yeah. A lot of people will come to me because you know, you tend to attract a certain type of person. It tends to be your audience, right? I always say to my audience, I'm an extroverted introvert. I'm a definite introvert, but I'm extroverted by nature because I put myself out there on podcasts and this, that, and the other. So there's an element of extrovertedness to me, but I'm very much so an introvert. And the majority of the people that join my program are introverts. In fact, I just had a call with my recent round of students. And I said, you know, who here is an introvert? Who here is an extrovert? And everyone's like, oh yeah, introvert. So I think a lot of introverts really struggle with using their voice and feeling comfortable in situations where they have to speak up. If you're extroverted by nature, you may not be as aware of the things that are holding you back. But I think introverts are, because we're kind of wrapped up in the internal. So we notice things a bit differently. And usually it's somebody that will come to me and go, oh, I speak too fast, or I say a lot, or I stumble my words, or I just feel really uncomfortable, or I want to just sound more comfortable and confident when I use my voice. And so we start first with, you know, identifying their voice story so we can help build a new story for them and the voice that they're supposed to speak with, and also matches their, let's say, their brand. So if you're a personal brand, I work with a lot of personal brands, or even if you're not, it's, you know, finding those characteristics and qualities that you want people to hear and resonate with you when you speak. So if you want people to consider you as being authoritative, confident, well, how does that sound? And if your voice doesn't match that now, we look at how can we shift that so that it carries those qualities when you speak.
That's so interesting, because I just went to, you know, motherhood. Like this idea of, you know, when you talk about like holding authority and speaking with confidence and coming from that place, I immediately thought about getting your kids to listen. Right. But it doesn't matter whether it's your kids or someone else, right? Like there are plenty of people that we come across in the world that when they speak, we listen, whether we realize why or not. And I would imagine voice has something to do with that.
Oh, big time. That's why I fell in love with voice. Why I do voiceovers and why I do podcasting is because I love being in front of a microphone, and I feel most comfortable expressing myself through the microphone. It's where people tell me that I give them great inspiration and I impact their choices that they make and inspire them to achieve things sometimes that they didn't think were possible. But the voice has that capability to ignite action, to drive someone to do the things that they did not think was possible. Words are great, but words mean nothing without a voice. And they also mean nothing without a voice that speaks with intention and connection to the other person. We have so much ability to move and shape people's lives when we open ourselves up to it, but most people close it down. They bottle it down.
Can you talk a little bit more about that idea of like intention and connection and how to utilize the voice in that way?
Yeah. Well, it first starts with the breath. So if we're not breathing properly, we won't allow the emotions out. Our breath carries our emotions. And so if you're shallow breathing, so if you're somebody who notices your shoulders raise a little bit when you speak, or you feel like you get out of breath easily, or you're taking big, you know, verbal breaths, like you can hear the breaths, chances are you're doing those shallow breaths. Now, that's going to allow you to keep the emotions down. But when you start to breathe from the belly, that diaphragmatic breathing, where you really tap into the breath, that's when you're going to start to feel something. And you allow those feelings out on the out breath. And so when we speak, if we're starting from a place of nice, open breathing, those emotions kind of come out. And then when we connect to the words that we're saying and the person that we're speaking to with great intention, we have a point of view, a thought, or a feeling that we want to convey to the other person. That plus the breath on those words creates great impact.
Really cool. So do you teach, is that something that you teach people, is like breathing? Cause I'm like, the yoga teacher in me is like, okay, so how are you teaching this?
Yeah. In fact, it's so interesting because one of my students, you know, a lot of people go, oh, I know breath. I've done yoga. I've done this or that. But then they don't equate it to speaking. So they still don't know how to breathe when they speak. And I think a lot of it has to do with keeping those emotions down to keep ourselves safe. Because when we start to open up that breath and we attach it to thoughts and feelings, which you're not usually doing in yoga, well, that's where things will come out. That's when you're like really connected to somebody, when you're in the moment and you're really connected to that other person, you're out of your head. You're now with them. And it's a very magical place to be where a lot of us fight it because we're so wrapped up in our head. And when we're wrapped up in our head, we lose the connection with the other person.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So interesting, because it's not stuff that like I necessarily walk around thinking about, like, how does this all fit together? And this is amazing work that you're doing.
Yeah. You know, it's all stuff that I did, that I do with actors that I've now developed to work with other people as well.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to ask about. Like, what was that journey like working with actors? Because I know one of the things that you were doing was working with non-American actors to teach them the American dialects and, you know, accents and that kind of stuff. What was that journey, or what has that journey been like for you? Because you obviously had to do your own work going in the other direction.
Yeah. Well, that's how I developed that program for non-US actors who wanted to book US roles, was in my struggles to do the opposite. I tapped into things that other dialect coaches weren't teaching. And I created something that I felt was very much needed. It basically filled in all the holes that were lacking in traditional dialect coaching. And so that has become something that I am so good at. I could do it like blindfolded. And usually when I work with my actors, I'll close my eyes a lot just so I can hear the sounds, because I can hear when their placement is off. Like if their tongue is in the wrong position, I can hear it. And I can say, oh, your back of the tongue is too high in the mouth. You need to drop it. I can hear all of that in the voice, and they go, you're right. They have this kind of like look of shock in their face. Like, how did she know that? But I can hear what's going on inside of your mouth. And that directly correlates to speakers as well as performers, because if there's any sort, whatever your upbringing is, your body is still speaking from that. So for example, let's say maybe you had like a plate or a retainer or something in your mouth that was kind of like blocking the way you spoke when you were younger. Chances are it may still have an effect on how you speak today.
Interesting.
Even though that piece of hardware may not be in your mouth still may be thinking it's there. And so that affects how you sound.
How did you learn all this stuff? Was it just trial and error? Like, how did you gather? Because I mean, it's freaking amazing to me that you can hear somebody speak and be like, the back of your tongue is in the wrong place for this thing. That is astounding. How did you train skills?
Okay. Well, look, I've taken voice classes and voiceover classes for years and years, being an actor and then working in voiceover. But then I got my graduate degree in voice. I think it was back in 2012. I went back to school and got my graduate degree. And it was when I started working with actors, because for them, when they have to audition or perform in something where they have to nail the accent. Like if you think of any movie you've seen with a foreign actor and you've gone, oh my goodness, their accent is amazing. I had no idea they weren't American. That requires so much discipline. It's like training like an Olympic athlete to get to that point. So I just started to notice that my ear was picking up on things because I was doing it so much, to where it almost was a distraction to use the visual. And I would just sometimes close my eyes and just listen. And I just I could tell exactly what was going on in their mouth. I can also tell when somebody's hesitating or pushing. I can feel where their vocal energy is landing, whether it's going backward into the body. It might be hitting the hard palate. It might be getting trapped and going up through the nose. Like, I can hear all of those things in somebody's voice.
And that's just because you've trained your ear through repetition and practice.
I think it's just so many hours of training, of practice, of working with so many different actors over the years, is my ear has gotten so finely attuned. I would not have been like that at the beginning, but where I am today, doesn't matter who I'm listening to, I can hear, I can tell when they're pulling back in their voice, when there's some sort of hesitation or they don't want to be too forceful, I can hear it. So that's why I say the voice does not lie. You can hear everything in the voice. And whether or not your audience is actually picking up on it, they're picking up on it. They may not know that they're picking up on it, but they're picking up on it inside.
Right. So there's a subconscious process going on somewhere.
They're deciding if they like you or don't like you, or will keep listening to you in that moment.
Right. Wow. So how does this impact actual relationships? Not just like this is, I'm an actor or as an entrepreneur standing on a stage or doing a podcast or whatever. What is the impact on voice in your day-to-day relationships?
It could be how you speak to your partner or how you speak to your kids. You know, like you were saying, if you want your kids to take you seriously and you've got this little voice like this, you know, knowing how to use your voice and create a little bit more stamina or volume can help give you a bit of authority. It's the tone in your voice, you know, so you could say something to your partner. You could say, can you get me some milk? Or you could say, can you get me some milk? You know, and your partner is going to respond differently depending on the tone of voice you used. So you can use it to your advantage if you want to.
And you kind of were talking before about how, like, I mean, the voice is an instrument. And it's an instrument for connection. It's an opportunity, like utilizing your voice in a way that is meaningful and purposeful and intentional can really be an instrument for connection.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that idea of utilizing that?
I think a lot of us are disconnected throughout the day. It's easy for us to disconnect, especially with social media. So it's hard for us to connect in real life or even on social media. I think a lot of us get trapped in our head, in our thoughts, and we have this inner dialogue going on of, should I say this? Shouldn't I? What will people think of me? Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? What will people say? You know, there's this whole dialogue that's affecting our voice and our connection with other people. So if we're going into a conversation with somebody and we're so wrapped up in our head and those thoughts of worrying about what the other person's going to think of us, well, they're going to sense that something's off and they may feel a disconnect as well. Every time you go into your head, you're losing that connection with somebody else. So you always want to serve the other person and honor them and make them your focal point. The most important point in that conversation is the other person, to make sure that they receive the information instead of just throwing it out there. Really make sure that it lands with them. And it is an energy sort of thing. You can feel when you're in your head and you can feel when you're genuinely over to the other person, but it's about tapping into that energy.
Yeah, I love it. Just it's another layer. It's another component, another tool that you can utilize in these human existences that we're in.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the voice is so powerful, because it affects your personal and your professional life both. So, you know, when you if you're somebody who feels like you're holding back in any capacity and you use your voice, which is most of us, well, then it's affecting both your personal and your professional life. And so when you start to work on your voice and just work through some of those things that may be holding you back, it is that ripple effect where you'll start to notice that it's impacting all these other areas as well, which is really exciting.
So one of the things that you've mentioned is this idea, this understanding that one of the things that gets in the way from a voice perspective is being stuck in our own heads, our fears, our insecurities, our doubts, our stories, our history, all that stuff, right? It becomes a stumbling block.
Yeah.
What has that work been like for you? Because in my experience, and you can say, I don't agree, that's totally fine. But in my experience, we are the best attuned to be inspiring and supporting other people in their growth when we've had to go through our own shit.
Yeah. And it's such a journey, isn't it? It's such a process to go through your own shit.
Yes. Yeah. How did you do that work? Because you're not just a voice. You're not just teaching people how to use their voice. You're teaching them how to like dig through the essence of their being to, yeah, from the wherever they're starting to wherever they're trying to get through. And the voice is the tool in which you're using, but you're doing so much more work than that.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And I think people don't know that of a voice coach, or it might just be slightly unique in terms of voice coaching also. But I think when you're working with actors, they need to do these sort of things. So I think it's fascinating for somebody who's not an actor, because we go, well, how do you connect with someone and how do you do this and that? I think what is different is the fact that I recognized, I think when I moved over here from the US, I got a really big culture shock. And what I learned is people communicate differently in different cultures, which makes sense. They're your people and you all speak the same language. So we speak English. And for example, Australians, where I am, speak English, but we speak English totally different. They communicate totally different. So when I first got over here, I was too American for them. And people were turned off by my vocal delivery because I was like this excited American puppy dog, wanted to make friends and had all this like vocal energy. And what I've learned is in the Australian culture, that's too much for them. They're very much different over here. And so I was struggling to make friends because I had too much vocal energy. So culture plays such a big part of how we speak. And I noticed that started to have an impact on my voice. So I went through a period of just self-conscious and not really sure what my voice should be or who I was. I was going through a period of rediscovering myself and I lost some of my confidence. And so I noticed how much how I was thinking was affecting how I was using my voice and communicating with other people. And I was like, wow, there's something here. I've got to look into this. And I think I'm onto something. Like, I can see how much of an impact that's having on my voice. Surely it has an impact on others. So like, for example, when I work with my actors, I teach them a lot about speaking from the American's perspective, putting on their American brain when they're breaking down a script and creating the character. Because if you use your brain from another point of view, it's going to sound not authentic. So there's such a interesting connection between the brain, how we think, and how we speak. And it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. But a lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah, just the whole, this understanding of like, what you are experiencing on the inside in your internal world comes out through your voice.
100%. You cannot hide anything from us. So like, think about it. You know, if you've ever watched a webinar, let's say, and the person conducting the webinar is shocking, like so bad, boring, dull, you know, like it sounds like they've done it a million times. They're probably thinking in their head, oh, I got to do this webinar again. I've done it like 5 million times. So we're hearing in their vocal delivery how they're feeling on the inside. Or if they're feeling really nervous, they might have this like excited, pushing, nervous energy that comes out and they're just like barking and shouting the words out at you. But you're like, whoa, that's too much, you know, so you can't connect to them. So you hear it all the time. It's just that we don't realize what we're hearing is people's internal thoughts.
Right. Wow, that's so fascinating. That's so fascinating. So what is the work that you're doing? Like, obviously you've worked with actors and you've done like straight up voice coaching, getting them ready for roles, which, by the way, I heard you talking about this on something else that we were on together. And my daughter and I are watching, this is like side note, this really awful, like, I don't know, Hallmark movie or something. And I was so distracted by the actors because I was like, this is exactly what Catherine was talking about. He has some phrases that are very American. And some of the things I'm like, where is he from? Because he is clearly not from here. It was so bizarre to like, in the past, I would have just been like, that guy's annoying.
Yeah.
But like having heard you talk about some of these things, I was like, oh my God, that's what it is.
Yeah. See, I drive people crazy because I make them aware of things that they've been unaware of. And now when they watch movies and stuff like that, they're like, oh, like I can't just enjoy the movie because now I'm listening out for stuff. Like it's coming out now and I notice things. I'm like, sorry.
But there's something beautiful in that too, right? There's this understanding that we all have the capabilities. So the things that you're talking about that are essentially your superpowers are things that we all have the capacity to practice and to hone and to gain an understanding. And maybe it's not because you want to be a voice coach and teaching other people to go through this process, but maybe you want to be more in tune to the people in your life. And if you can start to hear how they're speaking and what's coming out and the message behind the words, and that's only going to help your relationships.
Oh, 100%. You become so much more aware of things. Awareness is the key in anything in life. When you're aware, you can start to make shifts. When you're not aware, you can't make the change. But when you're aware, you can recognize in the moment what's going on and shift that pattern to a new pattern, a new habit. So yes, you know, a lot of what I teach my students, I say you need to be self-aware so you can self-correct so that they don't have to rely on me in telling them what I'm hearing. I want them to notice and experience it and feel it for themselves. So we use all the senses so that you can feel the vibration of sound in your body and where it's going.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I just think about like as a therapist and coach myself and a yoga teacher and teaching other yoga teachers how to teach yoga and teaching other coaches how to be coaches, those types of things, that some of the stuff that you're talking about is stuff that I have always been like, how do I teach that? You know, how do I help people? And you figured it out from a voice perspective, this ability to like kind of break down and tune in and feel it within your body and what it actually is. And I feel like there's a lot of us that go through that where we're like, I know this thing intuitively, but I don't know how to communicate it or share that information with somebody else. So what is the work that you're doing with entrepreneurs?
So I'm working with entrepreneurs on creating the voice of their brand, the being a presence to their audience that they want to present. So if they're ever feeling awkward or unnatural in their delivery, whether it's on camera or in a podcast or whatever, they know that something is off and they want to fix it. That's where I come into play. So it could be that they do webinars or some sort of live launch or something like that, where they want help on the presentation of it, the actual delivery, creating an experience for their audience and having that connection instead of just reading words on a page. Or they want to start a podcast, or they've got a podcast and they just want to feel a little bit more natural. Or maybe they've got a YouTube channel and they feel like they need a little bit more help in connecting to their audience through that, or they want to start doing TikToks and they are feeling really uncomfortable doing that because it just feels really awkward. I help them to rewrite that story for them so that they can find joy in showing up online or using their voice, and strategies to connect to their audience and connect to the words that they're saying so that they can create that emotional connection, speak with authenticity, and be that authority, that leading authority or expert that the audience wants from them to be the one that shows them the way and helps them get the results that they want.
As you're talking about this, it totally makes sense to me, the work that you're doing, that so much of your audience that's showing up are introverts. And there's probably a really large percentage of those introverts that struggle with anxiety.
Yeah. You know, I haven't shared this with you, but when I was younger, I used to, every day after school, my parents had a beauty salon and I would go there after school, and they had a closet, and inside the closet, they had a bench that opened up. It was like a little toy box. So I would go in there and I would color and I would play and stuff like that. But I always felt like shy to use my voice. I think, I don't know if it was because I was around adults all the time, but I was just really uncomfortable speaking out and being vocal. And so when I started using my voice more as an entrepreneur, and I got into this work of working with entrepreneurs and helping them find their voice, I was like, oh, that's because I struggled to find my voice. And once I found my voice, I wanted to help others find their voice as well. So it makes perfect sense that my audience is the classic introvert.
Right. You're like, oh, yeah. You're just an earlier version of me. It's fine.
Yeah. And I always say to my introverted audience that you be as visible as you want to be and be visible on your own terms. We live in a very extroverted world that, you know, extroverts will tell us how we should show up on TikTok and Instagram and all these channels and how many times we should post and what we should be doing. But we've got to remember that most of those people that are telling us that information are extroverts. And for the introvert, that does not work out so well, right? We think a little bit differently. So I say, you know, you post and you create content the way that makes you feel good. That's why I have a podcast, because that makes me feel good as an introvert. And I can put myself out there and share my voice and repurpose it on other channels in a way that aligns with me, instead of feeling like I have to do all the things that the extroverts are telling me to do.
Well, I would imagine, based on what you're saying, is that if you as an introvert, anyone, but you as an introvert were doing the things that the extroverts are telling you, like, this is the only way to be successful in business. You have to show up on TikTok 25 times a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the thing is, that's not going to align with your authentic self. And then it's going to impact your voice.
Totally. 100%. It's going to impact your voice. It's going to impact how you show up or how often you show up. I've noticed that I've tried to do that. You know, I've listened to the experts and I've been like, okay, I'm going to do, you know, 3 TikToks a day and just show up and do this and that. And then after I do all that, I'm so exhausted that then I can't show up for a period of time because I've taken out all of my mental energy in that one period. So I've recognized for me that I really need to be careful of my boundaries online of how I show up and not give into what all of the experts are saying that you need to do. You don't need to do anything. You also don't need to have a big audience. You can have a small audience and thrive. So I don't give a lot of extra added effort into what all the social media gurus say, because I'm looking at their energy and I'm like, well, you're an extrovert, so clearly that makes sense. But for an introvert, it doesn't make sense for me. So I will happily be the champion for introverts and say, you know, do what makes you feel good. Don't feel like you have to do what the extroverts are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that lines up with all the work that you're doing, right? Like when I said, you're not just teaching people how to use their voice. You're teaching them how to find themselves. And through finding themselves, their authentic voice shows up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're a therapist after all. Maybe you're the therapist.
I could be. I mean, I think, you know, when you're a coach, you are very similar to a therapist. You know, I've been in many a coaching sessions with students where I've put on a therapist hat without being one because they needed an ear, somebody to just listen to them in that moment. And that's perfectly okay. But when you're an actor, there's so much involved in really opening up and being vulnerable that a lot of that really comes from that performance experience of learning how to be present in the moment. And you can't possibly be present in the moment if you're holding yourself back. You can't.
Mm. Yeah. And that's going to, like you said, it's going to impact not just your role. So if you're an actor, it's going to impact your job, right? It's going to impact the role in which you're playing. If you're an entrepreneur, it's going to impact your business.
Your sales. How many sales you get, say, on a webinar? Tremendously.
And if you're a human being, which most of us that are here are, it's going to impact your relationships.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we can feel when you're holding back and when you're guarded, you know, when you go inward and you don't want to share yourself with the other person. Look, we all have moments of that, but it's about when you go out into the world, creating those connections with people is such a special magical thing. And if you feel and sense that you're holding back or that there's like an invisible wall there of protection, it doesn't hurt to look at that. Because when you start to open yourself up, you're going to feel so much better.
Mm.
So much better because you're not holding on to all this stuff and bottling it down. Now you're allowing it to go and live your best life.
Yeah. And, you know, we could talk about this forever, but the next layer is how it shows up in your body physically, right? So if you're if you're stuffing things and then you're like, I have pain. Of course you have pain.
Exactly.
You've stuffed your trauma. You stuffed your voice. You're not showing up as your authentic self. And yeah, of course it's going to show up as pain.
It's all related. Everything is connected. So it's tricky when I teach because I've got all these modules, but everything's connected. So I might be talking about the breath, but then I'll start talking about something else because it's all interconnected. It's like you can't talk about one without the other because you can hear it in the pace, you can hear it in the volume, you can feel it in the energy. It all happens effortlessly and naturally, but we get in the way of what we should naturally do.
Oh, it's not just the voice.
It's not just
you could be speaking this thing about the work that I do with people or the work that the next, you know, coach or entrepreneur does with people, because it's we get in our own way all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I kind of throw people for a loop when I get on these podcasts. They're like, wait, what? This is what you teach.
I think it's amazing. Of course, because I'm like, wait, you're doing what I'm doing, except you're doing it differently. You're doing, coming from a different perspective.
I'm coming through the perspective that is so badly needed because you can hear it in so many people's voices that all their internal stuff is coming straight through. And it's like they're sabotaging themselves, you know, getting in the way of the results that they want.
Right. Right. All when you just said that, all of a sudden I thought of like showing up for a job interview for the people that are working out there, working in the world, getting jobs, not just auditioning, but a job interview for working down the street somewhere.
That's it. That's one of the most important times to use your voice and how you show up, your presence. It's your vocal and your physical presence. If you're coming from a place of doubt and uncertainty, well, the person that's interviewing you is sure to pick up on that. It could possibly be, you know, the thing that either decides whether or not you get that job or goes to somebody else. If you look at two people in a room and they both have great resumes, but one person's like really timid and nervous and afraid to speak. And then the other person's, you know, got great energy, great eye contact. You can hear warmth in their voice. Well, chances are it's probably going to go to that person over the other person because you can feel their confidence.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, I'm just like thinking about all the places that this shows up. This is just, my brain just went down this rabbit hole of like first dates, meetings at the school for your kid, like all the things, all the places that this stuff can so easily show up. Any of those kind of first impression-y environments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, we use our voice every day, all day. So it shows up all the time.
Yeah. Man, that's amazing. So what would be your best, I don't know if best is the right word, but tip or strategy or recommendation for somebody that is interested in starting to just kind of look at this stuff in their own, for their own journey, whether they're entrepreneurs, whether they're, you know, talking about relationships or whatever, what would be your best starting point or best tip to get going on that?
I think the best starting point is to watch back something you've recorded, you know? So if you're on, let's say, Instagram or TikTok, and you've made a video, watch back from a non-judgmental viewpoint, if you can. Not, I always say clinical, like you want to take away your emotion when you're watching it and just listen and watch and see what you pick up on. Because we want to watch it from an external point of view of what our audience might be picking up on when they hear our voice or when they see us talk. And you can even close your eyes like I do and see what you can hear. The first key is always awareness. So I think it's great to start watching your own work, especially if you're, you know, an online entrepreneur like me, like you, and you're putting yourself out there. Watch your work because you're going to get a clear view of how it's getting received. So if you're not getting the views, the shares, the follows, the this, the that, start with that and see, you know, it may not be the actual content. It may be the delivery. So start watching your delivery and see if we can start to shift that a bit. If there's something that you don't like, you can always change it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's such great advice. And I love that tool. I'm thinking about back in the answering machine days. When you used to have to call into your answering machine and be like, oh, I hate my own voice on the answering machine. And I hear people say that all the time. Like if I am working with someone and I have them record something, they're like, I don't want to listen to my voice. That's probably an indication that you need to look at what's going on.
Yeah, we always avoid, right? The thing that we don't want to work on is chances are we do have to work on it. I did not like the sound of my voice. When I first started doing voiceovers and I had to listen to my voice, I said the same thing. It's so common. Everyone says that. I don't like the sound of my voice. Well, you got to get used to it because if you want to make change, you got to watch your work. If you're someone like us that, you know, uses our voice a lot and puts ourselves out there for people to watch. So the other thing with the voice too is the voice that you hear in your head when you're speaking is different to how people perceive your voice as well. So if you're only listening in your head, it's always going to sound different to when you're recording it because your voice is bouncing around in these different resonating chambers in your skull. So you might be like, oh, I like the way of my voice. It sounds good. And then you go and listen, you're like, oh, that's awful. That's all right. We can work on that, but it's never going to be the same as how it sounds in your own head.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's so valuable. Thank you for that. So where are you hanging out? Where can people find you if they want to track down Catherine Beck? Where do the introverted Catherine Beck, who's not on TikTok five times a day?
Yeah. So you will find me on TikTok. You'll find me on Instagram. It's at Catherine underscore Beck underscore for both. But my love is to show up on podcasts. So I've got two now. I've got one for my actors. And then I've got another one, which is for anyone who uses their voice. It's called The Voice of Your Brand. And you can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Amazing. Amazing. I was listening to one of your episodes the other day. I just love listening to your voice. You've obviously done an amazing job and all the work that you're doing. So I'm like, oh, I just love you. You start talking and I'm like, oh, what does Catherine have to say today?
So, oh, thank you. Well, people say that to me. And even I will sometimes be like, oh, I don't like the sound of my voice. Like my voice could sound way better. So we're all our worst critic. But Absolutely. It's like whatever your skill is, it's going to come easily for you. So when I jump on a podcast, it's like I'm at home and I can just jump in and I feel really comfortable sharing and connecting with my audience. And I always try and make them my point of focus, that I'm serving them every time I show up. And hopefully it shows. So I'm glad that you hear that.
Yeah. That's good. And I think that that's such a valuable little nugget. And you said it previously, but anywhere you're showing up in your life, anywhere that you're using your voice, when you make the receiver the priority,
yeah,
it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Don't make it about you all the time, people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you taking time out, coming on the podcast, sharing your story. And I look forward to listening to more of your podcast and watching things unfold for you. It's been very exciting. So,
oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you guys. If there's anything specific in this episode that you're like, hey, hell yeah, I want more of that, or you want to connect with either one of us, I will link up ways to contact us in the show notes. And as always, I appreciate the hell out of you. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Take care.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. And nice job on making it all the way to the end. Sticking around really speaks to your dedication and commitment to your own journey. So pat yourself on the back for that one. And like with any new venture, we truly believe word of mouth is so valuable in the growth process. So if you're enjoying the podcast, share it with your peeps. Share a photo or video of you listening on Instagram and be sure to tag us at Out of Your Mind with Pam. And so you will always know when new content drops. Be sure to subscribe wherever you are listening to this episode. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
One of the most effective things that you can do as a mom is you can learn to regulate your nervous system. Now, you might be thinking, Pam, how do I regulate my nervous system? Well, there's lots of different strategies, but one really great way to start to wire the brain for relaxation, for calm, for more peace, is to up your gratitude game. And that is exactly why I created a free email series just for you. The ultimate guide to a grateful life is 15 essential practices and prompts to cultivate a brain wired for gratitude, which will create for you a more abundant and a happier life and you. And all it takes is just a couple minutes a day. These are strategies that are proven to wire the brain towards rest and digest. And that is the side of the brain, the parasympathetic nervous system, that we want to be more active. This is where emotional regulation comes from. So grab your copy today by going to pamgodboys.com/gratitude and start wiring your brain for a happier, healthier life.